All right, everybody, this is Chase Marks, and we got a special guest on the show for you, all the way from Dallas, is it?
Yes, well, I live in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex right now.
Nice, and we're talking to Money Stacks, excellent, yes. Excellent rapper, and I'm surprised that I hadn't heard of you before. I'm putting together a Women's Day tribute for International Women's Day on March 8th, and I tweeted about it. And Al Williams suggested I check out a group called Vicious Cycle.
Oh, yeah.
So I found that on Bandcamp, and I was really impressed with what I heard there and immediately contacted you to be part of our special.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure. And then last night, I was looking around, and I see that you are really busy, like the hip-hop scene. Not only are you part of Vicious Cycle, but you're part of a couple other crews as well. So
yes.
Maybe, can you tell us a little bit about what you've been doing and where you're coming from for anyone out there that might not have heard of you yet?
Absolutely. I am from the New York, New Jersey area. I was born in New York and raised in New Jersey. That is basically what I consider to be my home. But as an adult, I moved out to the Dallas-Fort Worth area with my husband and my children. Together out here, we have formed a group called The Co-op, which is Conscious Operations. It consists of both me and my husband. We have two albums out right now and another one on the way. I have another group called Vicious Cycle, which is with my best friend, Nikki Devereaux. And together, we're like the 2012 Salt and Pepper or something of that nature. You know, we play off each other real well, but we're like really hardcore MCs, like on some Lauryn Hill, Rod Digga, Jean Grey type of steez. Then I have another group with my homeboy Word Life. He's from Brooklyn, but he lives in the Dallas-Fort Worth area right now. And that project is called Monopoly. And it's just kind of how we monopolize on, about how we monopolize on stuff. That's actually an EP. And I am also dropping an album very soon with another really good friend of mine, Headcrack from the Ricky Smiley Morning Show. We have a group, which is actually untitled right now, but for the past couple of years that we've been working on the project, we've been calling it Crack Money, but we're just not into stuff like that. So it's a catchy phrase, but you know, we're going to change the name, but we'll just refer to it as Crack Money for now. So I got a few different projects popping off. I'm also a solo artist, so I do solo songs here and there and try to pick up some solo gigs as well. And that's just under the name Money Stacks by itself.
Yeah, and Stacks is spelled S-T-A-X for anyone wanting to find out more about you. But yeah, what we're doing here for Dope FM today is we're an overnight hip-hop show, and we're spending the entire overnight dedicated to the women in hip-hop.
Wow.
We did it last year because last year was the 100th anniversary of International Women's Day. My girlfriend is a women's studies master student, and it got me thinking about a lot of different issues involving women in rap music. And for me, I'm a fan of female MCs, and I know there's a lot of people out there that don't really want to listen to females on the mic. For some reason, I don't know what it is, but some people aren't as open to listen to females. Have you come across that in your grind?
Absolutely. I will say this about the music that I make, the groups that I'm in. I definitely have a non-female type of style. So although, yes, you know, I'm a female and it does come across in my music, at the same time, my skill level, my flow, my delivery are not that of the typical female. I can also say, which a lot of people, you know, a lot of femcees might not agree with me on, I really don't like femcees as much myself either. There's going to be a nice chunk of really dope femcees that I've heard of, but the problem with femcees is that you don't have to be that good to be considered to be that good, which is a problem for me. Because when I get out there and I tell people I'm a female MC, before they hear me and know what I sound like, I have the problem of trying to get people's respect. And it's very difficult because in the way the world works right now with music, like the standards are really low for femcees. So, you know, people kind of brush it to the side. And it's like once they hear me spit or once I get off stage, or if you've purchased an album of mine of some sort, then, you know, the next time I see you, I get the respect that I deserve. But it's like, it's very hard to get respect when I am in an arena where, you know, not much is expected from me.
I know, that's a shame, and I didn't even quite understand it, but last year we interviewed Katie L. Don't know if you ever heard of her. She's from Australia, and she was basically saying that we basically hold females up to a lower standard, and that she wishes the bar was raised, and I definitely agree, because when I first heard you, I was like, whoa, these girls are spitting, like, man, it's just like straight lyricism, and it's not, you know, sometimes, like you were saying, the bar is a little bit lower, and it's fluff, or it's sexual content, or it's other things like that that we're getting from the females on the mic, and I mean, I don't want to leave, like, you almost labeled yourself as not, like, pushing yourself away from that as being more masculine, but I don't think it is. I think it's just that you're embracing what I think is the best qualities about hip hop, really.
I can definitely agree with you on that. Like I said, it is, I put it in the dude category, because most of the times, by the time people like listen to my catalog and listen to my stuff, they're like, wow, like, you don't remind me of a female rapper, you know, like, I expected to hear one thing, and then when I listen to you, I don't get that. And it's like, you're absolutely right about the over sexualization. It's like, this is what I call it, and I'm not going to call any particular femcs out in general, but almost everything right now is like a gimmick. You know, if you don't have a gimmick with your package, then people don't want to listen. So if you're not willing to just go completely overboard in one way or another, it's like you can't even get people's attention. A lot of women have to use over sexuality to get that attention, which I definitely don't approve of. You know, I mean, I guess it's good for some people if that's how you want to be looked at, but I'm going to demand a certain level of respect for my music, and how I look, even though I am fly, has nothing to do with how I sound. So I don't want to take my clothes off, and I don't want to put that out there. But it's really funny that you brought that up, because like the type of stuff that I do, it almost picks at it. It's I don't know. It's kind of making fun of it in a sense. Like the album, The Vagina Chronologue, which is me and Nikki Devereaux's first album, Vicious Cycle, The Vagina Chronologue. It's poking fun at the whole, yeah, we're chicks, but we're not going to give you that sexualized stuff. So it's like we throw the word vagina around a lot because it raises the temperature in the room a couple of degrees. And we just like to do stuff like that. When we get on stage, we play a lot with each other back and forth with the whole telling the audience, you know, titties all in your face, or, you know, you've just been smacked upside the head with a titty. But it's all in the fun, because like as soon as you say it, everybody's paying attention. Like we could have a room full of people and we could get up on stage, and before we start spitting, you know, people are walking around and talking to their friends and over at the bar. And then all I have to do is say, if you have titties or if you like titties, let me hear you say titties. And then the whole room, you know, turns around and pays attention. It's like an attention grabber, but we're not going to actually give you titties as much as, you know, we just want to utilize what other people gravitate towards to make you pay attention to what we're doing. And then once you hear us, then you'll know why you're listening, and you'll want to listen more.
And on that note, I think right now we have to drop your track, Tits and Ass. And the remix is titled Devereaux Meets Stax. We'll play that one, and then we'll come back and talk with Money Stax some more. This is Chase Marks for Dope FM. Stay tuned.
BC, we bringing the tactics. You see me bringing the ass kicks.
Come and get your ass kicked.
And Money be talking mad shit. We keep on making them tracks when you keep on bringing the whack shit. The music is slowing down. BC, we bringing the traffic. And we turning you into addicts, even when we are slacking. Season to the exact shit, reason to be they packed in. Gleaming because the fact is, all of the crowds attracted. Meaning that we are that sick. In fact, I'd rather spit the fire than have a bunch of people who tell me to retire. I'd rather be the type to spit the shit that's inspiring. Drink is to get another drink, we heads to get they lighters. Prepare to meet the tightest, could never find another pair of chicks to do it nicer. Assuming we ain't right this, bet you thought I'd use excuses. Count on me being fly, cause I'm supposed to show some thigh while chronologuing vaginas. Yep. Aspire to be the rawest, the sickest to grab the mic up. Any place that we might be, any booth that we might touch. Give me a beat we likin', watch how we just destroy it. Every moment I enjoy it, and that's the reason you like us. It's the reason you buy us, the reason you admire. It's a vicious cycle, bitches insisting to spit in ciphers. The remnants of BC vibing so ill that you can't decipher. So real that you need to size up, you feel it cause we the flyest. Vicious cycle, Devereaux meets Stax. You rap crap bogus, right hand ready that slash.
in. You nervous, I service chins and purposely murk your men, all courtesy of my pen. Disturbing the surface, vicious cycle verbiage, connect verses and power drop lines to get shine with no rehearsal. You're turning purple. That's how it is against the fem stats. Violate, get him back. Your prior state, you've been whacked with no remorse. I force submission, of course. Dismantle competition and they pigeons for sport. I gotta limit the short. Fuse box, faulty wiring, salty iron them. Step close, apply to Tim. Then fade to fuzzy, bump knuckly, ugly. Money stacks got my back while standing in front of me. The wonder twin of MCs, head on with lead drawn. The eve of a new dawn, where queen takes pawn. You need our songs. For every line, I live and breathe. On wax, me and stacks, the last of a dying breed. Vicious cycle, the parole means stacks. You rap crap bogus. Right hand ready, that slash. Vicious cycle, the parole means stacks. You rap crap bogus. Right hand ready, that slash.
Right, that was Devro Meets Stax by Vicious Cycle, and we have one of the members of that group on the phone with us, Money Stax. Man, that's a nice song, Money.
Thank you.
I like the lyrics that you touch on in there too, you know, saying like, assuming we ain't write this, bet you thought I'd shoot excuses, count on me being fly because I'm supposed to show some thigh. And just going like what you're supposed to do and what people expect. And even with the original title of the song, you know, some people are expecting that kind of over-sexualized stuff. And you're just hitting us with lyrics and just saying that, yeah, we wrote this and this is what we do. So very cool.
Thank you.
I'm sure the title Vagina Chronologues probably scares off a few people.
I'm sure it does too. And in reverse, I'm sure I've pissed some people off because, like, I'll go into my Bandcamp hits and find out where the buzz is being generated from, and a lot of buzz gets generated from people Googling tits and ass and vagina.
Really?
And if you Google tits, ass, and vagina, those are all words that are in the song from the Vagina Chronologue, tits and ass. Some people get directed to our song from it, and we get plays off of it, but at the same time, that's definitely not what they were looking for when they tried to Google the term. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that album came out in 2010. And your latest one, Volume Control, I like how you're sticking with the VC, like Vicious Cycle, Vagina Chronologue, Volume Control. So that must be intentional, I suppose.
Absolutely, and thank you for noticing that, because I don't know how, but a lot of people just don't pick up on the small details that we nitpick at. But we just love the VC thing. Vicious Cycle, the name of it means a lot to us, because me and Nikki Devereaux have been friends for a very long time. We used to work together back like 15 years ago, and this one particular job, we were doing inbound customer service for like a credit card company, and she literally told this customer, who was completely irate and upset that he couldn't get help, she told him, "I'm sorry, sir, but it's a vicious cycle." And literally, we fell out laughing so hard at that point, like, I had to ask the boss if I could leave that day because I just couldn't take it anymore. She had me dying, so.
Wow. That's really cool how, so that was the genesis of the name for your group.
Yes, absolutely.
That's so awesome. That happened to me too when I was trying to get a rap career started. It's just funny how you just overhear something and it's just like, wow, that's it.
Right.
And you grab onto that. Very
absolutely, great. And then you know it. As soon as we heard it, we knew it. And we ran with it, and we've been Vicious Cycle ever since. So we definitely want to stick with the VC thing. We had to. So any other albums that ever come out from us, they're all going to start with a VC, definitely.
Do you already have like a list, a brainstorm list of VC phrases that'll work?
Yeah, you know him. You know we came up with a zillion of them. We have some really funny ones in the holster. There were a lot of ones that got vetoed too, but you know, we do have a list, an ongoing list.
Very cool. Yeah, so I saw this clip from Merce on YouTube, or I caught it on Tumblr or something. I forget exactly where I found it, but he was talking about why there were no females at Rock the Bells. And then I was looking at your YouTube channel, and it looks like you were at Rock the Bells in Dallas.
Yes. Actually, we were the only group to open up for Rock the Bells in Dallas 2010 at the House of Blues. It was a spectacular event. We really enjoyed ourselves. It was a monumental move in our career because up until that point, we really hadn't been getting, you know, gigs of that magnitude, which is important. You know, sometimes when you're a musician, as you know, you're not going to always be monetarily compensated how you feel like you should or by how much energy and effort you put into your craft. But when you start getting opportunities that reflect your hustle is working, then, you know, it makes you feel real good. So that was really the beginning of people paying attention to us and giving some recognition for the stuff that we've been doing.
So you get out there, you're playing shows a lot though, aren't you?
Yes, all the time.
That's amazing. Because I want to touch on this quote and have you respond to it. And I'm planning on doing this with the roundtable discussion. We're going to try to get some females in the studio and some scholars and have a little bit of a roundtable discussion. And I wanted to pose this to them, but I want to pose it to you too. Merce said,
"Hip hop is not a positive environment for a young woman. I would want my daughter 50 miles away from this place. Honestly, you can't expect a woman to feel comfortable being in an art form that's just so degrading. And you know what I mean? It's so misogynistic, it's so, you know what I mean? It's just, it's an awful music if you're a woman and you have any type of self-respect. You have to have a lot of self-respect. You have to be borderline obsessed with yourself to be an MC, because it's me. But if every song you ever heard growing up is bitches ain't shit and fuck you bitch, like, it's hard for that woman to grow up and want to take the stage and have the confidence to take, of course, because everybody's, oh, they seem a little less confident. Of course they do, because you beat them over the head with how worthless they are and then say, oh, here's the mic, you could try to do what we do."
Wow. Hearing stuff like that, it's like a gift and a curse, because I can definitely see where they're coming from with the statement. There is a lot of negativity with females overall in hip hop, but to me, to say you wouldn't want your daughter around any female type of, you know, hip hop, I think that might be slightly ignorant, only because you can't really make an assumption that an entire genre of music feels, acts, and raps a certain way. Just like you can't make the assumption that all black people steal, or, you know, whatever the situation is. It's just, it's a prejudice, it's prejudging. I definitely see where they're coming from though. There's a lot of instances where females aren't respected in the hip hop game. And as a matter of fact, it's just the norm for females to not be respected. But I make it a note to not judge myself based on anybody else. And I demand respect. If you could just tell from my voice, I just don't play that. I demand respect no matter where I go, before I say I rap, after I say I rap, it doesn't matter. So it's all about the person and who they are. And I've heard plenty of female MCs that aren't about anything degrading, all right? That aren't saying anything degrading about themselves, or that use their sexuality to make music. I've heard plenty of male MCs that give props to females in general, and treasure them and talk about how they're queens and treat them right. So at the same time that there is going to be, you know, the disrespectful music out there that has to deal with women, there's also going to be music that is respectful towards women. So I think whoever made the statement, if they are that interested in hip hop and want hip hop to be a part of their daughter's life, then they should take a couple of steps to research some other types of femcs and MCs that could, you know, accommodate that type of music, because there's different types of music out there for everybody. So
I definitely agree with that, but I also agree with, like, I'm hip-hop to the bone. I'm a hip-hop historian, and I feel like I have to apologize for this music. And it's only very recently that I've become to see how much we play a role of masculinity, and how I wasn't conscious of a lot of this before, and you see it now. And you know, I don't think too many artists try to censor themselves and think about, well, you know, maybe there is a young girl listening and maybe we should be saying something a little bit different. And I think maybe that's what the daughter comment was about, just because some hip hop, and like you said, not all, some hip hop, you know, tells girls that they're basically worthless.
It's sad that it's like that. And unfortunately, that is the message that goes out. I would more so say that's the type of stuff I would hear, you know, back in the day, as far as calling people flat out bitches and hoes. I mean, I guess I do hear the term bitch get thrown around a lot, but truth be told, I don't listen to a lot of that crap myself. It doesn't matter, you know, who the mainstream person it is that's saying it. I just don't listen to it. I don't listen to mainstream radio. Like, my life doesn't include that type of, you know, degrading. It just doesn't. And you don't have to be a part of it. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to listen to it. You don't have to like it. You don't have to turn on the radio. So I feel like people are going to be subject to whatever they let themselves be subject to. It is sad that it's like that. Like, I was hoping my spot would, so even though it hasn't, and I've been doing this for years, I was hoping my spot would take over more of like a Lauryn Hill spot, you know, somebody who is respected with their clothes on and can bring female empowerment, make you feel good about yourself and respect yourself, opposed to, you know, buying into the facade that you're not really worth shit because you're a chick and, you know, stuff that hip hop talks about now. It's really just not good for females overall.
Yeah, and I hope we can spread that positive vibe there. And I like how, like, you know, the co-op doesn't just mean you and your husband coming together. It means conscious operations. And I think having conscious, you know, lyrics and themes in your songs, and even yourself, I mean, you're an inspiration and a role model to everybody, for sure. And I, that's why I wanted to get you on the show. We need to hear more women on the mic. And we've been talking for a while, so I think we should play another song right about now.
Okay.
I have a couple that I would like to play. I really like the Monopoly title track. And I also like You People, which you have a video for, which people could go check. So I think we should spin one of those. Which one do you think we should spin?
Let's go for You People.
Excellent. All right. You want to throw that for us?
Absolutely. This is You People by Vicious Cycle. You can check us out on viciouscycle.bandcamp.com, or you can check the video out by going to YouTube and typing in Vicious Cycle, You People.
Metamorphosis and torment, the effort from performance. You worship, contort this, see demon blood and corpses, and fire flaming torture. Tire game, I forfeit, I'm more sick of corsets. Vicious cycle, war shit, enforce it. I bury you, incredible, we federal. Intelligence and patience, breeding food for thought that's edible. We sever fools, vicious cycle, who will be the end of you? Treble boost, clever too, measure moves, we never lose. Let them choose, you'll never win. People watching doesn't bother, evils lurking, rock the diamond eyes. Open watch behind you, spit the grimy, rugged, raw stock. Hit with the sword shot, subliminal, ignore shot. Missing disregard blocks and vision is before pop position with the long locks. You listening but missing how the beacon jump with floors, knocking gourd spots with floored rock. Too sick to even mention you when thoughts top the jaws drop. They feeling like it's chemical.
You people must be crazy or lost your minds, and I just can't decide. You people here, well, we're not saying you still rewind, recite our rhymes. Your minds, and I just can't decide. You people here, what we're not saying, you still rewind, recite our rhymes, but why?
Claustrophobic boot rider, enticer, magnet energizer, gadget multiplier, supersizer, who spray like a geyser, make you thought twicer, despiser. Folk look mad cause the brown bag special, ain't so special. Electrical vegetables, edible, collectible goods that taste like wood, escape from the hood till it's misunderstood. I'd like to buy a vowel now, how convenient, devilish to speak it, legible, leakage, incredible, decent, pedible, sneezes, vicious cycle, title, knock them to pieces. I make you look at the sun, release it, objectives are negative, celibate CD, stay selling it, irrelevant to bicycle, card shark, kettling, we didn't have to use our keys, the aardvarks let us in.
People must be crazy, or lost your minds, and I just can't decide. You people here,
glad you people hear what we're not saying. You still rewind, recite our rhymes, but why?
All right, that was You People by Vicious Cycle, and we are lucky enough to have Money Stacks on the phone right now on Dope FM for part of our International Women's Day special. Hope you've been listening all night long, because every track and everything we're doing tonight, everything's been blessed by a woman in celebration of International Women's Day. So we got one of the dopest female MCs doing it right now, definitely on the phone lines. How's it going, Money?
It's going great.
You know what? The way that song closes is, I really want to touch on what you're doing there. Earlier in the song, you said you're spreading food for thought that's edible. Love that line.
Thank you.
But at the end, you say, people hear what we're not saying. You still rewind, recite our rhymes, but why? And it closes off with the but why. So what are you asking there? I'm confused.
I mean, you know what? It's funny because you have been the most perceptive person that has ever interviewed me before on my music. Like, I swear, this is the greatest thing ever, because I can talk to you in depth about it and you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm so glad you brought that up. You're hitting the nail on the head with it. What You People is it's a song where me and Nikki Devereaux said, let's write a song about nothing. It means absolutely nothing. We literally picked words out of the clear blue sky that rhymed with each other and made it, and said, we're gonna spit it with so much feeling that people are gonna think that it actually means something. I mean, you picked up on a particular line, you know, but really couldn't reference anything about what the song was about, because it's really not about anything except for what the hook says, which is, you know, like you said, you people must be crazy or lost your minds, and I just can't decide. You people hear what we're not saying. You still rewind, recite our rhymes, but why? And it's kind of like playing with the audience, because, you know, people just listen to whatever that's playing on the radio, and if it's catchy, they'll, you know, bob their head and snap their fingers and pick up on the hook and repeat it and recite it. But half the time you don't even know what you're saying, which kind of goes back to the whole female degrading thing. Like, a lot of the times people just like the music and they just know the words to it because they like the music, and they're not even thinking about how rude or degrading it is. So with this, we just wanted to kind of play with people and say, all right, and we purposely made it the title track for the album, made it super catchy so people would listen and want to rewind it. But, you know, we're basically telling you in the hook that we're not saying anything. So
wow,
it's just something to play with, you know.
That's brilliant. That's so cool. You know, sometimes I watch a movie and then I watch the bonus DVD feature. And sometimes when you watch the bonus DVD feature, you're like, oh, wow.
Right.
So it feels like I just went behind the scenes right now and had one of those, oh, wow moments. That's amazing.
You absolutely did, because we usually don't tell that to people. Like, it has been out there for a long time, and we usually don't bring that part out. But I mean, you know, it's a couple years old now. I'm like, hey, might as well tell the people what they got. But the one really interesting thing about that song, which I like, makes me like it really hard, the little boy in the video is my son, and he's actually on the hook. So the voice that you hear on the hook, the little kid voice, that's him. And, you know, he's a part of our music, which also helps keep our music grounded. We're not going to go but so far this way or that way or talk about certain stuff, because we have children and we're adults and I'm married and she's married, and, you know, we want to live a regular lifestyle, and we don't want people to think that we're out there with machetes, you know, chopping people's fingers off for coke money, because we don't live like that. We're just regular people that can rap really good. And my son is not only in that song and was in that video, which was a really cool video, like the video is super cool, but he's also in the song Recess, which is on the new Vicious Cycle album called Volume Control. That's also a really dope song, so hopefully he'll get to be in that video as well.
Picnic Time Production.
Come see me and I'll lead you to the one time your love died. Duck hard, hitting you with the punchline. BC bloodline is stronger than a flood tide. Brighter when I bust mine's money, you'll make the sun shine. Skip the lunch line, spitting on the alumni. Vandalizing property, faculty trying to stop me. If you know me, I'm probably pointing out a hypocrisy. Consequently sicker, instantly you'll be tongue-tied. Some try copying, let me tell you my doctrine. Anything y'all are doing, I'ma just do the opposite. Anything that you say to me is coming back reciprocity, not a
it. It's a monopoly cornering all the projects. Now that he keeps you listening, written will make you contemplate. Pockets empty, I'm unsigned, my market is untapped. I'm targeting anyone who will compensate.
Nah, 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 nah. We take steps from cats who can't rap. Beats bang dash, bring heat in y'all trash. See me laughing.
Time out, give me a second to grab my heat. I can't reach and they playing keep away with the beat. Cause once I touch it, you ain't gonna want it back. And I figures cause I torture Barbie dolls and disfigure action figures. Your mama got three tits, I know I saw her. One's for milk, one's for water, the other one's out of order. I order me tether ball in these MCs and they rhymes. Scale these monkey bars, 16 at a time. My mama told me to always make the right choice. So you are not sick, my clock ticks. A time bomb with no timer, an MC with a shiner. Blood coagulated and scabbed up. Aggravated the school of hard knocks. Spit bars for my classes. I stand up cleaning spit balls for my glasses now. I'm headed back out while my jam knocks with a sock full of rocks. And I'm taking back my sandbox.
Nah,
sign
nah,
me.
Nah, 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 nah. We take steps from cats who can't rap. Beats bang dash, bring heat in y'all trash. See me laughing. Nah, 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 nah. Nah, 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 nah. We take steps from cats who can't rap. Beats bang dash, bring heat in y'all trash. See me laughing, na-na-na-na.
Sigh, gag me with a spoon, rapper foons. Or meet me on the blacktop by the buses after school. Spun through your lunch and double dutch on your snack pack. Snatch your backpack and hide your glasses in homeroom. Harassment I don't do. You started it, I'ma finish it. Sentences primitive, insidious, lyricist, idiots, pimps you spit against. Underground intelligence, tear down your playground with instruments. Menaces, I know you are, but what am I? Barfly, bark, Martian, starving artist, smart remarks, but retarded regardless. But who's around? I turn my blues around to you, clown. Heat chicken stock to reduce. Who's a loser now? I don't shut up, I grow up, and when I look at you, I throw up. Your lines aligned to my spine, five wouldn't go up. The line three minds is a blind side, kidney explosion, mic corrosion, just add water, price is potent. A hard path and 10 lashes for being useless. A supercalifragilistic distraction when I told the students, doofuses, the nurses, worst case of Xerox. Circle, circle, dot, dot, now you got your booty shot.
Na, 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 na. We take steps from cats who can't rap. Beats bang dash, bring heat in y'all trash. See me laughing, na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. We take steps from cats who can't rap. Beats bang dash, bring heat in y'all trash. See me laughing, na, 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 na.
That's amazing. So you have a husband that you rap with, and you're getting your son involved. Does he spit, or was he just doing the chorus? And
he does write his own rhymes. They're obviously not where mine are, but he writes his own rhymes. I don't push him in that arena because being a MC is a very unappreciated art, monetarily and respect-wise, and just from a lot of different angles. So, like, we do a lot to make sure our children have everything that they need, more than what they need, especially education-wise, and I just wouldn't want them to try to follow a career in music, although, you know, we have a recording studio in the house. Me and my husband rhyme. Me and my best friend rhyme. Like, they're everywhere involved in it. Like, we have radio. I'm on a radio show. I was host, VJ host for MTV3. Like, he can't get away from it, so I'm not going to tell him he can't do it, but at the same time, I'm not going to, like, push him into it. But I mean, you know, what good is having children who are greatly inclined to music if you can't utilize them every once in a while for your own project? So, you know, the things I need them for here and there, I'll write them myself and then have them practice them and do them. But he's really good. He's a good writer, and he's gonna probably get into the business himself someday, unfortunately.
Unfortunately. Yeah. That's crazy that we have to talk like that, because hip hop is such a great art form, and there's so many, like, positives involved with it and so many things we can do. I'm like a product of the golden age of hip hop, and some of the music that harkens back to that sound. What do you think of the golden age, and what do you define it as, or do you?
When I actually started getting into hip-hop, was what they considered the golden era. Hip-hop was in the 90s. I was in my teens then. That was when all of the Tribe Called Quests and De La Souls and Commons and, you know, the people who we look up to and highly respect as MCs, that's when they came out, and that was the birth of that generation of music. It has definitely changed over the years into something very different than that, so... I wouldn't necessarily consider myself in the golden era, but I do have a lot of people tell me that my music is reminiscent of the 90s time period.
I think for me, that's the time when, you know, lyricism was really tight and people were competing with each other on levels and no one wanted to sound the same. And nowadays, it seems like everyone wants to sound the same. Oh, we got to have a hit for the club. Oh, we got to have a hit for the radio. And, you know, no, just make music. Make a decent album. Stop trying to, like, reach and sound like everybody else, you know? And I think that's a lot of the problem with, you know, mainstream or commercial rap these days, is that the originality and the drive doesn't seem to be there.
Absolutely. The originality, the drive, I mean, I could speak forever on this topic, because back then, lyrics were appreciated. What you were saying was really all you had, which, you know, is very important, because your words are power. Like, I used to make songs that years afterwards would still have people coming up to me telling me how much the song meant to them. Like, I made a song back 20 years ago about having an abortion, but I've never had an abortion, and I'm not pro or against it. I don't really have any feelings on it. I just know that, you know, I'm pro-choice. I'm for whatever, whichever woman wants to do whatever they want to do. But for me personally, I wouldn't choose it, because that's my personal choice. So that's how I have three kids. But at the same time, for years and years after that, I just had people coming up to me, like up to 10 years, I'd have people coming up to me telling me how much they could relate to the song and how much that song meant to them, and you know what, and how it helped them get through a difficult time. So like, I don't think that these newer artists really understand the impact of words, because you say things and they're just words to you when you write them, but they mean something to somebody else. Like, I hadn't been through that, and it kind of didn't mean anything to me when I wrote it, as much as I listened to the beat and said, hey, this is kind of like a downer beat, and it sounds like I need to be talking about something that went bad, or an issue that, you know, went wrong for me. So I just made up a scenario, but little did I know that those words like severely impacted so many people. And the thing about the 90s, the golden era, was that your words is like all you had. It wasn't all you had, because beats were important too, but your words were so important. So if your words weren't correct, then people just didn't pay attention to you. Not only did what you were saying have to be what they wanted to hear, but your flow and your delivery had to be how they wanted to intake it. And that is definitely an art that's lost at this point. It's really, like I said before, all about gimmick and flash. It's all about these custom noises that are like in some of these beat making machines now that you have to throw into everything, and auto tune. And it's just, I don't know, it's something that I'm not familiar with as far as relating it to my music career, which is probably part of what holds me back from being a larger, well-known artist.
Well, hopefully we can change that, like you. I mean, I get all my hip-hop from underground campus radio stations and from blogs, and not from, like, regular radio or video, unfortunately. It seems to come from the underground. And then, like, I, you know, wear underground as, like, it's a title. Oh, I'm underground. And, like, and it's a shame that we have it as a title, but... I'm getting way off track from where I wanted to touch on, because I wanted to talk about what rappers say most people in the general audience take as truth. You know, and we had the whole keep it real thing, and so people think that what you're saying is like 100% true. And you talked about the abortion song that you made without having that experience. And that's where I wanted to get into the poetics of hip-hop and how this really is, you know, a poetic form where the speaker in our poems doesn't have to be the role of the MC or the persona. And I think a lot of people don't see that. And, you know, if you do something a little bit outside of your own experience, some people might get thrown by that. You know, you can keep it real by just presenting topics that are important to you and doing it in a different way. And I think it's a little bit missing in hip hop right now, the storytelling element. I mean, some people are still telling stories, but a lot of people are just throwing stuff together to make it sound good.
Right. I learned a very valuable lesson about being 100% true in lyrics or not. When I first started listening to hip hop 25 years ago or something, I thought the same thing. I don't know why. What makes you as a child think that whatever somebody's saying is 100% truth? And I had gotten onto Redman really, really hard when I was like a junior in high school or something, like a sophomore. I really thought he, like, the world rise and set on him because of Muddy Waters. That was my favorite album.
Nice.
And I met him because I lived in New Jersey. So right before I was leaving to go to college, I actually met him. And I met him with a friend of mine, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to college soon. And my friend was like, oh, she is your biggest fan. So he was like, well, I'll come back and kick it with you. Like, he was the coolest dude ever. It was the coolest thing ever. He came back to meet up with us. We stood around, we just kicked it and talked like we do each other. And that was basically it, but it just meant like the entire world to me. During that conversation that we had with him, I had asked him about that. I was like, so is everything that you say in your music 100% true? Because at that time I was writing too, poetry and music, but I was only writing things that were true. Like, I just didn't, my mind didn't conceive being able to write a story from somebody else's point of view or say something that I would never contemplate on doing. And he was like, it's not all true. He was like, nobody's music is 100% true. And I was like, And I had to take it in because although being around him for a couple of hours felt literally like listening to Muddy Waters, like he was the person from the album. His personality came through that album so hard that when I was with him, I felt like I knew him already. The things that he said were very reminiscent of the album. It was his last album that he dropped at the point that I was meeting up with him. And it definitely opened my eyes to just what being a musician is about. And it helped me realize that everything that people say isn't 100% true. And then as I grew as a MC, I realized sometimes you're going to write a story from somebody else's perspective. Sometimes you're going to write a story, you know, or not even a story, but sometimes you're going to say things that isn't something that you have done, but maybe it's something that you would do if you were put in that situation, or something you think you would do if you were put in that situation. But it doesn't necessarily have to be 100% truth, as in I did it and now I'm saying it, and it just makes it, you know, it makes it solid, it makes it the truth. It's not like that. So there's definitely an art form to it. It's a poetry thing as well, which a lot of people don't really associate with hip-hop anymore, but when I was growing up, hip-hop and poetry were like hand in hand with each other. And it, you know, when you go to listen to a poet say one of their poems, you don't expect every poem to be about them. And it's kind of like the same thing.
Yeah, it's weird how hip hop is, I don't know, taken on that, like people just assume that that's what it is. And I know certain MCs wear kind of masks. It's almost like their MC persona is like larger than life, like, you know, comic book hero type stuff, as opposed to, you know, regular everyday MC.
Like, perfect example is Rick Ross. I don't mean to call anybody out, but I'm a nobody, so it doesn't really matter. But, you know, from my understanding of the situation, because I don't follow it too tough, I don't follow, like, rap news, but from my understanding of the situation, Rick Ross, you know, he runs around talking about he deals drugs or sells a bunch of stuff. I don't really know because I don't listen to it. Even though it's decent music, he's not saying what I want to hear, so I don't really listen to it. But I heard like a couple years ago, you know, they basically brought to light that all of the stuff that he was talking about selling drugs and being this big, you know, drug dealer is just not true. And he was really a corrections officer. And it's, yeah, like, and then you look at somebody like 50 Cent, you know, and that's somebody else who I don't listen to, but my husband listens to him. And it's like, he'll drop an album, he'll drop music currently that says he shot somebody or he'll kill somebody. But we know 50 Cent's not going to kill anybody now. Maybe 50 yeah. Cent 10 years ago, 15 years ago would have killed somebody, but he's making too much money. Why would he do that now? So for you to listen to 50 Cent saying, I'll kill you, anybody making real money off of this and doing the real business side and saying stuff like, I'll kill you or I'm slinging all this weight, I mean, just think about it. It just doesn't make any sense that they would put themselves out there like that when they are already making way more than they need to make off of their craft. What it is it's a way to attract the people who want to hear that crap. There's always going to be a very large quotient of people who are enlightened by fancy cars and jewelry and drug dealers and whatever other lifestyle comes along with that, to the rappers who are willing to jump into that arena and either act like they do that or draw on previous experiences to make it seem like it's cool to do that now, you're going to gain the respect of people like that. So it kind of is what it is. It's the storytelling thing is a gift and a curse, because you can tell a story about an abortion that can help people through hard times, or you can tell a story about being a drug dealer and possibly get a bunch of children to want to be just like you. So it's a messed up gift and a curse with that.
Yeah, for sure. I think part of the problem is it's not really called attention to. So I like to, you know, bring that up with my students and let them know that, you know, this is sometimes as fake as wrestling, and you just got to take it for what it is. And so hopefully people are listening to the conscious lyrics out there and music like you. I mean, sometimes you want fluff, but a lot of times, like, I don't know. I'm just a lyric head. I just want to hear lyrics. Over good beats with a nice flow. So I don't know.
That's me. That's me all day. If somebody can do that for me, I'm good. Like, that's all I need.
For sure. All right. Let's play one more song, and then we'll come back and wrap this up. This has been awesome. It's been really cool. We're talking to Money Stacks from Vicious Cycle and from the Co-op and from Monopoly and putting in her grind there, you know, blessing hip hop with some dope music. But I want to play Never Enough because it really touches on the theme of what we're doing today on Dope FM for International Women's Day. So we got to drop that one for sure and then come back and talk about the lyrics in that one a little bit. All right, so this is it. This is Never Enough from Vicious Cycle. It's off of their album that you can go get from Bandcamp, and stay tuned because Money Stacks will give you all that information right after this song.
Could have been a millionaire, said I chose to be a rhymer. Now I'm broken in my prime, some would say I'm right on time. But if you offer me a dollar and a dream, not gonna lie, throw my life away right now on any line I'm gonna sign. Some say my kindness and deficiency is kind of in remission, but they missing the whole point, fucking blind. And I'ma tell you one more time, I am the coolest bitch who rhymes. Not gonna find a chick who's finer, fool, don't waste your fucking time. Nope, it's funny how the hate it's always coming from behind when you can say it to my face. But ain't nothing, I'ma shine. I'ma keep doing my thing and let the foolishness subside. And the upside to the hate, it's gonna make them hit rewind. Fate will soon decide if I keep bothering. I'm wondering why I should stay on top of it. It's obvious that why? I'm a victim in this crime. I'm addicted to the rhymes. Keep on drowning in my thoughts. So come and save me if I'm dying. It's never enough, never enough. But we keep being clever as fuck. It's never enough. The cheddar is low, but we'll never give up. It will always be never enough, never enough. It's never enough, never enough. But we keep being clever as fuck. It's never enough, the cheddar is low, so I better get tough. It will always be never enough, never enough. It's
a beautiful baby girl. It's a boy, it's a girl. Not fucking, it's a girl. Plan was to put her in pretty barrettes. Maybe an actor, but she wants to be a rapper and play with talking tracks and kids. Also sadistic with dialectology. Herbalish when she dies, sets her lines, biology. Grabbing the baddest by the testicles. Refusing to dumb her wordplay down. Leave your brain dead like a vegetable. What's the gist of main focus? Search the diagnose. Study how she booty tanks the mic. Leave you comatose. Respect she gets, doesn't get the paychecks. It's not about the salary, but she's tired of eating Tex-Mex. See her walking down the alley, kicking cans and examining the whores that was taken for a man. Tripling up the purpose, falling down into uppers. I'll say suppress the dreams of the so-called illest motherfuckers.
It's never enough, never enough. But we keep being clever as fuck. It's never enough, the cheddar is low, but we'll never give up. It will always be never enough, never enough. It's never enough, never enough. But we keep being clever as fuck. It's never enough, the cheddar is low, so I better get tough. It will always be never enough, never enough.
I'm on the clock, stuck in a couple of bars. Play my hand with these thumbs, tougher to shuffle the cars. Sometimes I wanna quit both, chunk up the deuce apart. But my brain keep my body working to follow my heart. Damn, I'm getting written up. Boss catching me spitting a written for a show. Or maybe six niggas give a fuck. The promoter throwing it, not a nickel giving up. 10 minutes setting, not even a drink ticket, son. Rent money is short, cause of them instrumentals I bought. Then this motherfucker we sold, now we in court. Almost like a sports prodigy. Never made it past the minor leagues, but no, I still got it in all honesty. That one time I rocked, like 100 people flocking me. Niggas got me drunk, whoopin' bitches started jocking me. Niggas from my neighborhood caught my CD in the whip, they knocking me like I'm on, but my life is off constantly.
It's never enough, never enough. But we keep being clever as fuck. It's never enough, the cheddar is low, but we'll never give up. It will always be never enough, never enough. It's never enough, never enough. But we keep being clever as fuck. It's never enough, the cheddar is low, so I better get tough. It will always be never enough, never enough. It's
All right, that was Never Enough from Vicious Cycle. And we're speaking to one member of the group, Money Stacks, right now. That song talks about a lot of the issues we've been exploring tonight about females in rap and how they're not quite getting the respect that they should be getting. In the chorus, it keeps saying, we keep being clever as fuck. Showing that, you know, look, we're doing our thing, you know, pay attention to us. And I really hope people are. But the second verse is really compelling too, because that's a story about a young girl who wants to be a rapper. Some of the lyrics there say, it's funny how the hate is always coming from behind, when you can say it to my face, but it ain't nothing, I'ma shine. I'ma keep doing my thing and let the foolishness subside. I like that. So
yeah, and then that next line was, and the upside to the hate is gonna make him push rewind, which is, that's one of my favorite lines in the song, because we get a lot of hate. I mean, it's hard to gain people's love and admiration when you're doing something that's slightly outside of the box. But at the same time that you'd like to say, hey, I don't like that, it's also keeping you pushing the rewind button and going back and listening to our material. That song kind of means a lot to me because it represents where I'm at with my music right now. It represents how I feel about this whole music game and my career. It's an emotional topic for somebody who's like really involved in it, you know? You put your heart and your soul into it. I mean, I've literally taken time away from my family to do this music stuff. So when you can give everything and be really dope and do it all yourself, like, we record ourselves and we have in-house production, and some of the beats on the Monopoly project I made, like that Monopoly track, the headline Monopoly track you were talking about, I co-produced that track. It's like when you give everything that you possibly can, all of the artwork, I'm a graphic designer, all the artwork done by me. So we're talking about from the very bottom to the top of all of this stuff that happens, like, we kind of have to generate it ourselves. We have to be like 12 people in one. And it's just never enough. Like, you would listen to my music and think, oh, well, these, you know, they must be doing big things. But the truth of the matter is the music is great and we're getting a lot of gigs and a lot of love, but you know, we don't have a bunch of people buying our albums. We're not getting paid gigs. And it's messed up because the way the music industry is right now, it's at this awkward turn where it went from there being CDs and record labels to it being the internet and the underground and MP3s and digital files. So I started, you know, getting into my craft really heavy at a point where nobody kind of knew what to do. It really literally is never enough. Like, I have major artists that are dropping albums that you can get for $1.99 for the whole album the day it drops. You've got major artists that are out there dropping brand new albums and they're coming out for $5.99, you know? And if you have a budget behind you and you have a label behind you and they're pumping it everywhere, yeah, that's, you know, not a big deal. You're going to get a bunch of sales still selling it at $5.99. But then you look at the underground artists such as myself, who I put in years and years and years of work, decades of work. You know, I have these projects in my backpack that I've printed up because I also have a CD, DVD printing and duplication company. So we print up all of our own merch. You know, I'll have a backpack full of merch and I can't really get rid of any of it. You know, people don't want to pay $10 for a CD anymore. They don't want to pay $10 to get into the club anymore. It's like you can download everything for free, so I get it. And then you can get like major, major artist stuff for relatively cheap. So it just kind of leaves us independent people who aren't willing to hustle for it with nothing. And it literally is never enough. Like, I think I'd have to have a team of completely different type of people to make it enough. My rhymes, my dopeness, my input, my creativity, my 20 years of experience means absolutely nothing when I can do 50 shows in a year and not make more than $100.
It shouldn't be like that. I mean, you've got mad talents. And when I first heard the album, I liked you right away. But when I was on your YouTube channel last night for like an hour, and I tweeted my girlfriend, I'm like, I love this chick. I was like, the more I was watching, the more I was like, I was just totally impressed with everything you were doing. I saw the behind the scenes of the video you shot with your husband. I was just like, wow. And if talent spoke for itself, I mean, you'd be making Lil Wayne numbers, you know, because
that's really the goal, you know. But it is what it is. From the song Never Enough stems my new solo album, which I think I'm gonna call it I Quit or Fuck Hip Hop. Like, it's messed up that I have to be on it like that, but it's a very unrewarding profession, so to say. So, I mean, I would even be okay with a little bit of monetary success. I don't even expect much from it. I'm like, give me something from it, though, you know? It pulls. Being involved in the underground hip-hop industry, or I'm assuming a musician all around, because I kind of hear the same thing from artists everywhere, no matter what genre of music you're in. It sucks from you. Everything that it can take, it'll pull it from you. And, you know, if you happen to be one of those lucky few people that are in the right place at the right time and the right person with the right amount of money hears you, then you've got a career with it. Or you could be one of the most likely situations, which is, you know, doing this for a long time and the right person never hears you, and then all of the energy and time you put into it is wasted. So as much as I say I quit, I don't ever really quit, because I just love doing hip-hop so much. I have a studio literally in my bedroom. That's not a joke. Like, I roll out of bed in the morning and there's a microphone right here, the one I'm on right now. And I record right here at the house. I mean, I'm always going to make music, but there has to be a stop. There has to be a point as an adult that you say, it doesn't matter how good I am, I have to be successful in my life. I don't want to be that 30-year-old rapper that's still walking around saying I'm a 30-year-old rapper, but I don't have any money to show for it, because that's lame.
Yeah.
Well, it's sad that it has to be like that, but you know.
Yeah. Well, I write for thewordisbond.com, which is a fairly successful hip-hop magazine, and we've got our little radio show here on campus radio, and we podcast, and I have my own blog. So I promise you, when you put out your solo, send it to me and I can write a review of it, and we can put it up and we can blast it, and we'll definitely be spinning it on Dope FM, and hopefully we can get you more audience, because I think you deserve it, and the talent speaks for itself, and it's been so cool talking to you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity, for giving me a platform and a forum where I could speak my piece freely. I really appreciate it.
All right. So for people listening, this is Money Stacks, and she'll have to give you all her info so you can find out more about her and her many awesome hip-hop projects she's got on the go.
Okay, you can, like I said before, for Vicious Cycle, go to viciouscycle.bandcamp.com. For the co-op, you can go to the co-op, which is thecoop.bandcamp.com. For Monopoly, you can go to monopoly.bandcamp.com. And the Crack Money Project doesn't have a site yet, but that is coming soon.
Nice. All right, and one, as usual, if you stay tuned to dopefm.ca and my blog, chasemarch.com, we have podcasts and transcripts on the blog, so make sure you hit us up. I know we're both on Twitter as well, so you can find us on Twitter.
Oh, and yeah, absolutely. I forgot Twitter, at MoneyStacks, STAX. Also, I love underground hip-hop shows. I'm going to definitely follow your show. Also, I host a underground hip-hop show out here, which your listeners can check out as well. And that's every Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. Central Time. So EST, that would be 9 to 10 o'clock. And that is on knon.org. The show is called Knowledge Dropped, Lessons Taught with Easy Eddie D. It's the second longest running hip-hop show in the nation, so hopefully people will get a chance to check that out. And if anybody wanted to get at me directly, you could email me at itsaviciouscycle@gmail.com. And we take any and all types of requests, any types of exposure, any show opportunities. Please feel free to get directly at me. We're open to whatever.
That's awesome. We're on at midnight, so they listen to your show, get a little break, and then come listen to our show Saturday nights.
Perfect.
It's all good.
It's perfect. You can't
perfect.
Lose.
Definitely not. Well, it has been an honor and a pleasure talking to you, and I hope you have total success and happiness. It's been amazing.
Well, thank you so much for having me.